Next on BYUSN, it's a full night for BYU as the Cougars get ready to take on Alabama in the Sweet 16. We have you covered with all of your pregame coverage, anything you could possibly hope to know, like what are the keys to BYU beating the Crimson Tide. We'll discuss it and break it down in a game of fact or fiction.
We'll hear from BYU players Dallin Hall, Fusini Traore, Kaba Kaden, and Trey Stewart about how the Cougars match up with Alabama. Plus, how do the Crimson Tide feel about the matchup? You'll hear from head coach Nate Oates, Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, and others about how they can try and slow down BYU's high-powered offense.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, live from Newark, New Jersey, and the Sweet 16 at the Prudential Center, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Sun is shining. It is the Sweet 16, baby. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton, and we should note, we're not superstitious, but we are a little stitious to the point of eating sweet tots yesterday.
I know they weren't Orida, like, don't get mad at me, Saunders family, but we did have tots. Speaking of tots, the BYU football team shot for a tater tot. This happened recently.
Shot for a tot.
Hey! What is that?
Look how Richie, I need some of these.
For the tater tot king, baby, let's go. Lead A, we coming for you.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Let's go.
Hey! Does that count?
Yeah.
Richie Tots.
I made my shot for the top. Yeah.
Shout out to my boy. We're going to win that.
Sweet.
We're going to win the natty. Say what?
If you need the boys from Atlanta to come on the team,
hey, I'm like, prime.
I'm sharpshooter. I'm real rich.
There it is. Shot for the top. Let's go. Shout out Richie.
Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah. Tater Tot.
Let's go, Richie. Keep shooting, buddy.
Safe to say the football team's bought in.
They're ready. Shot for a tot means something else at other schools, by the way. For us, that means something a little bit different. By the way, had a great time, worked super hard, did all our stuff yesterday. What did we do yesterday? We saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway. It was awesome, dude.
This is what you do when you
it
come to New York. Yeah, you
done. Dun, 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 dun. It was so awesome. It was what a fun trip. We hope that the highlight, though, happens here tonight and Saturday, let's be honest, but first things first.
As good as the shows are on Broadway.
This is the show.
The show at the Prudential Center is the real
show.
We'd
like to think that this show's good, too. But let's be honest. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is going to beat out BYU Sports Nation. Let's be honest.
Much to discuss on this Sweet 16 Thursday, March 27th. Remember the date, because the Cougars have a chance to do something very, very special. With that said, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Very talented team, fast-paced especially. They got very good guards who can drive. It'll be a very high-octane offensive game.
Nate Oates plays that analytic game. He wants layups or threes. That's it.
We really just play for one another.
If BYU values the basketball, you have an excellent chance of winning.
We are roughly 7 hours away from tip-off between BYU and Alabama for a spot in the Elite Eight. And to preview today's game, we thought we'd go all in on a fact or fiction edition of What's Trending, Jerem. A number of different topics. You guessed it. We'll decide if it's fact or fiction around these several topics. So let's begin with this. We've been talking about how high scoring this game should be with two of the best offenses in the country. Fact or fiction? First team to 90 points wins the game.
I think if someone gets to 90, they probably win. So I'll say fact on this one. Bama, as mentioned yesterday, has gone 90-plus 19 times this season, Spence. BYU averages 81.2 points per game. Bob Morris held Bama to exactly 90. Mm. Held to 90.
I know, right?
90-81. I think if BYU defensively can play a similar game to what old Bob Morris did, they could be in this and perhaps even win. Let's go. BYU's got to play it in a way that caters to what they do. Now, Alabama does what BYU does, but on a really high level. Now, the thing is, like, if you look at the whole season in Alabama's numbers, you go, well, yeah, way better than BYU. But like we've talked about, Spence, BYU's overall efficiency margin is better than Alabama's since February 12th. BYU's playing great ball. I know that Alabama plays in the best league in America, the SEC, we all admit it. We got six teams in the Sweet 16. They're great. But BYU can compete and win this game tonight because they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama's offense, we believe.
I want to say that when you get into those late-game scenarios and against Wisconsin, it was quite literally first to 90 wins the game. It was 91 to 89.
Yes.
But I believe, I want to say BYU wins like 98% of their games over the last 5 years when they lead with 2 minutes to go.
I'll address that later.
Okay. It's unbelievable how good they have been when they just have a lead. So I'll lean towards fact here, but it's more so, can BYU have a lead with 2 minutes left in this game and hold on? Because under Kevin Young, his ability to use timeouts at a very high level went like shot clock's winding down, nothing's developing. He's so good at implementing his timeouts. His substitutions on the offensive and defensive side in late game scenarios, also high level. Like, that matters.
I'll give you a number that At Post Jimmer put out this week from CBB Analytics. BYU's averaging 1.13 points per possession after timeouts.
That is so good.
It's really good. That's been a winning number for BYU. Okay, we're moving on to three-pointers. BYU makes more threes than Alabama. Fact or fiction tonight?
Well, because they average 0.4 more three-point makes than Alabama, it's 10.6 three-point makes per game to 10.2 in favor of BYU. I'm going to lead on fact here. I think BYU is good to make at least one more three than Alabama. They might not shoot as many as Alabama, but BYU has been more efficient. That, too, matters. That helps the points per possession number you just brought up.
Yep.
I'm leaning fact here because BYU has been so good and lights out. They have more quantity of good shooters than Alabama does. Alabama's threes largely come from about three guys. BYU has, what did we document? Eight different guys that are capable of stepping up and confidently knocking down a three-pointer.
Yeah, there's a lot. When BYU gets to 90, if BYU gets to 90 points, I look, how many times did they do that? And when they did that, how many threes did they make in that game? The average is 13.7. Like, to me, this is, if BYU can slow down Alabama a little bit, they don't have to make a gajillion threes. They definitely have to make 10-plus, I would think. I don't see a scenario where BYU makes fewer than 10 and beats Alabama. They have to do what they do. Our brand of basketball is what we've been hearing from this team. That means they make 10 or more threes. Or do you just straight up outshoot Alabama? Like, it's a run and gun, up and down, like toe-to-toe. Both teams are shooting 40% from three, 50% from the field. If you have some combination of that, certainly it gives you a better chance. But BYU is capable of playing various types of games and winning. We've seen that. This is one of BYU's toughest challenges yet. This would be the best win on the season for a million reasons, not only who BYU's playing, where they're playing, the situation. But Alabama itself, to me, would be the best win of the season of any team BYU's already beaten.
No question. You bring up a subtopic within BYU and the way that they play and win games. Can they beat Alabama if they don't shoot the three well? Or is Alabama's size and physicality inside too much? Like, to me, it feels like BYU has to shoot the three well.
I don't see a scenario where BYU makes fewer than 10 threes and wins this game. Unless Alabama can't buy a bucket and they're just super cold and they shoot 38% from the field, 25% from three, BYU rebounds really well, the Cougars don't turn it over a ton. There are scenarios where that could happen, sure, but I just don't, like, of all the scenarios that Dr. Strange is going through in his mind, what's the one where BYU wins when they make six threes? There's probably one out there.
Listen, we did hang out on Bleecker Street near the Sanctum Sanctotum or whatever it's called.
Santorum.
Santorum, okay.
You act like you don't know, so I look like the nerd, but I see what you did there.
So we'll have to check with Dr. Strange on those, but it feels like BYU's got to shoot the three well. It also feels like, Jerem, BYU has to match up and be physical on the glass with Alabama.
Yep.
Fact or fiction, BYU out-rebounds the nation's number one rebounding team.
Ooh, this is an interesting one because I think that BYU has to lead in rebounding to win this. So I'm going to say fact because that to me, I don't see how BYU loses the rebound battle and wins. But I'm going to give you this. BYU has a better rebound percentage overall than Alabama. The reason they average so many rebounds per game, 42.3, is because they shoot more. They have more tempo, more shots. They average like 64 shots a game, Spence. So they are a great rebounding team, but BYU by percentage, relatively speaking, is better.
It's the offensive glass that really concerns me with Alabama. They just create so many second chance opportunities. And we've talked about it ad nauseum. There is nothing to me that hurts a team more when you fight so hard to get a good defensive stop, then you give up an offensive rebound, and an easy three or an easy bucket happens after that. Those are so deflating, and Alabama thrives off those. They live on it, and they demoralize teams that way. That's what they did to St. Mary's. They just really got after it. So
St. Mary's couldn't get second shots. They couldn't hit threes.
Yeah.
Tempo was too quick for them. Yeah, it was tough.
So BYU's got to obviously counteract some of that and do exactly what St. Mary's did not do. This one's tough for me. I'm actually gonna say fiction here, and I don't think it's gonna be a big margin though. Like Alabama might win the rebounding margin by two, but for me, like that offensive glass number is what I'm looking at. Can BYU limit Alabama to fewer possessions on the offensive glass? If they do that, then I don't think it matters who wins the overall rebounding battle, as long as it's close. It just can't be, to your point, like a wide margin. Yeah. Alabama can't win this thing by 10 or 12 rebounds.
And watch Richie Saunders. He had 6 offensive rebounds, second most in an NCAA tournament game in BYU history in the last game against Wisconsin. Next up, Richie Saunders will outscore Mark Sears.
Oh.
Fact or fiction?
I just don't think Richie's going to take as many shots as Mark Sears. And Alabama relies on Sears way more than BYU does Richie Saunders to go and be like the guy. So I say fiction there. I think Mark Sears will score more points than Richie Saunders, but I don't think it matters, Jerem. I don't think it matters that much.
Yeah, and both teams' benches are great, and you have a bunch of dudes that kind of average double figures. So I don't know. If Mark Sears goes off, I think it's going to be tough for BYU, unless Richie goes off too. I don't think it comes down to those individuals, though. These are two great teams. And, yes, Mark Sears is an multi-time All-American. Like, this is a great college basketball player.
I mean, he only averages two points more per game than Richie Saunders.
Yeah, and he's not nearly as efficient.
Exactly. Like, he takes way more shots.
40% shooter, that's kind of a low number. He was, like, the last one to get out to their shoot-around yesterday, by the way. Just kind of easing into it, waking up. Like, it was just kind of a slow build to get into the practice. I expected him to be, like, the leader out there. And maybe he is in the middle of practice, that 15-minute portion when the media watched. Maybe they're just throwing in the towel so they don't reveal anything. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I pick one here. I don't know. Fact. Richie will outscore Mark. Great.
By the way, Richie shoots like 9 or 10% better from the 3-point line than Sears does.
Oh, Richie's like nearly 50% from three the last like
incredible
15 games.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So
good.
We might just be standing here tomorrow talking about how Richie Saunders took 5 fewer shots and had more points than Mark Sears.
I kind of love that we don't know the way that BYU could win a game. They can win a game a bunch of different ways. It means that when stuff happens that doesn't go your way, you can respond in a variety of ways. We've seen it throughout the season, which has been awesome.
You brought up the BYU bench and the Alabama bench, and we have documented that both are very deep and balanced, and both have the capability to put up big-time numbers, bringing some guys off the bench. So, fact or fiction, BYU's bench outscores Alabama's bench tonight.
I say fiction. Here's why. I think the starters for BYU need to lead the way. You need Richie Saunders. You need Yegor Demmett to continue to play at a high level. Yegor's got to have another great game for BYU. I think Trevin Nell's got to knock down a couple of threes. Kaba Keita needs a couple of putbacks and that kind of thing. Like, don't get me wrong. It'd be great if Foos and Dallin Hall get in that pick-and-roll game and they put up 20 combined together.
Sure, Trey but Stewart what down. Can that pick-and-roll game do against Alabama's size and physicality?
And second unit. We'll see. We'll see. But I think the starters need to lead the way for BYU tonight.
If we're just asking straight up, can BYU's bench outscore Alabama's bench? It'll be close. I actually am going to lean fact here. I think that BYU, because they have so many capable three-point shooters, like what does Dawson Baker do? Does Dawson Baker come in and knock down three threes?
Yeah. Now that he gets to be on the bench with the team, I think he'll have a real impact on this game instead of just being recorded in the locker room.
Does Dallin Hall knock down some big shots and as part of that connection with Foos? Does Mihailo Boskovic come in and drill a couple of threes that are big time? Trey Stewart's been knocking down threes.
We never really know, which is kind of fun. We don't know what that's going to look like, but we've seen it before in different ways.
So I'm actually going to lean fact there. Maybe Alabama's starters are the guys doing the majority of the scoring, and it's BYU's bench that provides that balanced scoring, and the bench for BYU outscores Bama's bench.
Okay, next up, both Sean Farnham and Jeff Chapman mentioned that turnovers are key. BYU needs to limit them. So BYU have fewer turnovers than Alabama tonight. Fact or fiction?
I'm answering with my heart on this one. Fact. Because I feel like it will be absolutely devastating to BYU's chances of winning this game if that is not the case. Jeff Chapman, Sean Farnham, you talked about it. Both referenced that BYU has an opportunity to turn Alabama over. They can get a little loose with the basketball. So can BYU at times on the guard line with Yegor Demian and others. However, if BYU can win this category, then their chances to win the game, understandably, get an exponential boost. So I'm picking with my heart here. Fact. BYU will have fewer turnovers than Alabama, and the pressure that Will Voight's defense on that staff for Kevin Young ramps up, and they're gonna create some weird scenarios for Alabama and take advantage of this.
Yegor Demon has to play well again for BYU. Dallin Hall has to take care of the ball again. Yegor had 8 assists and 1 turnover against Wisconsin. If he has that tonight, I'm feeling great about BYU's chances in this game. Dallin Hall, again, needs to do it. Both average 12 a game. Both average 12 a game. I'll go fact. BYU needs to have fewer. Yeah, they
okay.
will. Yeah.
Let's push to the midway point of the game, halftime specifically, and that halftime score. Whoever leads at the break, fact or fiction, will win the game.
I don't think it comes to fiction. I don't think it matters at halftime per se, although in the last two games, BYU built a nice halftime lead that they were able to sort of hold on to.
Yeah.
And they lost those second halves in those games, but it didn't matter because they did a lot of their work in the first half. I'll say fiction because it's more about 5 minutes left in the game for BYU. BYU is 26-0 when leading with 5 minutes left, and they've won 54 in a row when doing that. This year, they're 23-5 when leading at halftime. So that hasn't mattered as much as 5 minutes left. The two-minute left thing, while you're talking, I am going to look it up in the notes if they have the two-minute thing.
Okay, so
BYU, they do not have it in the notes.
BYU has been so clutch, to your point.
Yeah.
Okay, 20, did you say 26-0?
Yeah.
When they have a lead with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, and they've won 54 in a row, 68 of the last 70. BYU holds on to the lead.
With 2 minutes to play when they have a lead, I want to say it was like 98% of the games over the last 5 years, which is an insane number, right? Because they're
good.
BYU's been in a lot of close games, even this season.
Yeah, in the Big 12, it's ain't the WCC, Doug.
I'm going to say fiction. It doesn't matter who's leading this game at halftime, as long as it's not a 12 or 14 point. I mean, if this game's out of hand early, like, obviously that really, really hurts your chances. But if this is a close game, Alabama's up 2, BYU's up 2, it doesn't matter. Like, fiction.
BYU could overcome a 2-point deficit with 5 minutes to go, too. It doesn't mean they're going to lose. Just if they're leading, they have won. Okay, last but not least, BYU goes to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history and the first time in 44 years. Fact or fiction?
Fact. And I'm leaning heavy on superstition. Did I do exactly 81 push-ups this morning? I did. And 81 sit-ups?
Nice.
You bet. I did exactly 81. Have I been doing that all week? Yes, I have. I'm not typically superstitious, but I'll take any good vibe I can get.
Here's what I love about this game. It's not a 7-game series. It's one game. BYU needs to be better for 40 minutes tonight. Maybe the blue goggles are on. I don't know. Put them on. Fact. Let's go. BYU's got to win tonight. They're going to win tonight. Come on. Come on.
Channel.
Let's go. I'm hoping. I'm praying. I'll do 81 push-ups later, too. Come
channel,
on. Because I did
the
zero this morning.
Of 81.
Unlike
come
this
on.
Guy.
No. Our question of the day. What's your superstition? No superstition.
How many push-ups did you do?
What is your game day guarantee for BYU's Sweet 16 matchup with the Alabama Crimson Tide? Let's get to some of your responses, beginning on X with @Darnold_Dallin, who says, points, lots of them.
What if this is just no one can make a bucket and it's 72-70? It's like, nope, that wasn't what we thought. I don't see that. @TwigYourStone on X. Richie buries consecutive threes. Brian Anderson exclaims, he's hotter than a tater tot fresh out of the oven. That would be great. I would love that.
All right, weigh in on X, Instagram, and Facebook to join the social media conversation.
Hey, coming up tomorrow night at 8 Eastern time on BYU TV, the annual, I believe the third annual, right? BYU football alumni game. This is going to be a ton of fun. Spencer's going to be back in Provo on the call for this one. Can't wait. Fourth annual. I can't believe that Hail Mary was already 3-4 years ago.
Brian Keel, legend.
So awesome. Can't wait for that. It'll be a ton of fun.
Up next, our one-on-one conversations here in New Jersey with BYU players Dallin Hall, Foose Traore, Kay Bakeda, and Trey Stewart on the matchup with Alabama and getting to play in the Sweet 16. Are they still pumping it up? This is BYUSN.
Pump it up.
The main thing, just focus on the game plan.
Attack the glass with Kay Bakeda. Make a clutch play late defensively.
He has figured out a way to get his team to buy into the system.
BYU Sports Nation is live from Newark, New Jersey, from the Prudential Center. It is a Sweet 16 Thursday. The Cougars and Crimson Tide lining it up in a little under 7 hours. Yesterday, we had a chance to speak with several BYU players, and we will start those interviews with BYU's reserve point guard, Dallin Hall. Dallin, how would you sum up the emotions of the buildup specifically of Sweet 16 week?
A lot of emotions, especially Cougar Nation being there at the airport to send us off. That was surreal. But also a lot of focus and just upping our intensity in practice and in our preparation. We understand the task in front of us. We understand that the job's not finished for us, and it's ours to go out there and take and move forward in this tournament. So that's where our heads are at.
How quickly after the last win in Denver did you turn the page to Alabama in terms of, like, locking in team preparation, just to kind of give fans a perspective of how quick that turnaround was?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our staff, they're on the flight home already breaking down Alabama film. Even right when we get back to the hotel, they're all splitting up and breaking down the film. So if that gives you any indication. And then for us, you know, we take the Sabbath day off and take care of what we do on Sunday, which is worship Jesus Christ or those who have different faith. And then we get back together Monday and we're locked in on the scout.
What was the first thing that was discussed when it came to preparing for Alabama?
Transition defense, Sears, and a couple other guards getting to the paint. That was kind of the main focus where we've been in the last couple of days of practice.
What's the key to keeping a left-handed All-American guard from getting to his left hand?
Right. It's going to take a team effort. He's very talented. We got to execute our coverages, and then we got to make him work on the defensive end as well. So that's kind of where our focus is.
Rebounding is always a critical issue, and it has been pounded into your heads all season long. Certainly with Alabama, it's back. So how do you win that battle against a team that gets after it on the glass?
You got to win the one-on-one. That's something we've been talking about for weeks now. Win the one-on-one matchup, whether that's on going to the offensive glass or it's keeping them off the offensive glass. We got to take pride in that.
How do you view the challenge overall, playing in this spotlight in this big of a game against a team like that?
Just a huge opportunity, one that we need to embrace, relish, and go out there and take. So that's how I try to view it. That's how our team has been talking about it.
When did the reality of BYU being in the Sweet 16 for only the third time ever set in for you?
Probably when everyone was dancing. J-Mac had the boom box or the speaker over his head. Foos was hitting some dance moves. That's probably when it sunk in. And it's really awesome. And, you know, a lot of people, even our coaches, tell us to really enjoy it, but to go make the most of it.
Are you sick of the song Pump It Up by Endor yet?
Not yet, man. We got some more dancing to that song. But I will say that song kind of came out of nowhere as our song. So Trevin Nell just forced it upon the team, and we're rocking with it.
What were you trying to accomplish in practice today at the shoot-around and beyond that?
We just really wanted to be there mentally with a high intensity level. Obviously, coach is very smart in our preparation. We make sure that our bodies are fresh. But as a defensive unit, as a team, we wanted to be locked in with our focus and executing the defensive game plan.
What's the rest of the schedule like for you tonight as you get set for the game tomorrow?
We'll have a team dinner tonight. Well, first we got study hall. Professors, sorry I haven't been to class for a couple weeks. We got study hall, take care of that. We'll go out to dinner as a team, which we heard a great spot. And then we got Super Smash Bros. As a team tonight. That's our team game ritual. So Trevin Nell, Dawson Baker, they usually get destroyed. That's the usual for the night before the game.
Who's your character in Super Smash Brothers?
I mixed it up, but lately I've been playing with Bowser. Dude's tough, I can't lie.
Hey, Bowser's a good model to, if you want to, like, emulate something yes. To get ready for this game. Bowser's a good way to go. All right, Dallin, as we finish up, you look around at your team. You were here on the East Coast. It feels like forever ago in that game against Providence. What has changed the most from that first East Coast trip to this one?
I think just our belief in one another and our trust in one another and in the staff. We have a lot more experience under our belt. And we really just play for one another. And it's a different guy stepping up all the time. Obviously with Richie getting it done all the time. And so we just feel very confident in one another. And our whole objective is just to win. That's it. And that's what we're about.
Pump it up with Bowser. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on now.
Gotta pump it up. Pump it up. Great stuff from Dallin. Foos Traore is going to play in his 128th game as a BYU Cougar tonight. Man, he's been consistent and solid over the last 4 years for BYU, and it's safe to say he's excited to be here. All right, Foose, you got ice all over the place, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Just chilling, you know. Like, just some little chillies, man.
Just chilling? Really?
Yeah.
How you feeling at the Sweet 16, man?
Man, actually feeling good, you know. Like, that's, I always wanted that, you know. Like, this is a special place to be, you know. So we're here. We just got to go get it done tomorrow for sure.
This is a long ways from Provo. How was traveling here? How's it been so far?
Yeah, so far so good, you know. Like, we just, well, the flight was nice, you know. We got nice seat, you know. So we're grateful for that, you know. Like, it was only 3 hours and 40 minutes, something like that. But it was cool.
Enough leg room for a 6'6 guy?
Oh, definitely. You know, like, we actually got first classes, you know, so that was nice. Yeah.
This is a big matchup with Alabama. What sticks out about what they do?
I feel like how they play fast, you know, like, versus their transition, you know. So I feel like that's been one of the best things we've been focused on, like, you know, like, just run back and transition, like, heavy shift, you know. Like, just be able to stop them and transition, you know. They play super fast, so that's our main focus.
What's the key to rebounding against the nation's number one rebound per game team? They're number one in rebounds per game. What's the key to rebounding well against them?
I feel like if we play like us, you know, like, we always box out, you know. They're number one, but we might be number one tomorrow, you know, because, like, we're just going to box out everyone and just go get the rebound for sure.
That's true. You just need to be number one tomorrow.
Yeah, we will be number one tomorrow.
They play so fast, like you mentioned. They like to shoot threes. Is it nice to play a team that you play like, so then you're already defending that kind of team every day in practice?
No, definitely. We are super excited about it, you know. Like, we play more like that, so it's gonna be a really fun game for sure. It's gonna be like a real pace game, you know. But we're excited. You know, like, we are from Utah, you know. We are used to that. Yeah.
Do you feel like this team is still underappreciated to some degree, and at this regional, you could prove even more to the country, even though you guys have already had a great year?
Oh, definitely. A lot of people don't believe us, you know, like, since the beginning now, but it really doesn't matter, you know, like, we're in this one. So we're just going to go show it again, you know, like, what this actually team is about, you know, how this family and brotherhood is about, you know. So we're just going to do what we do best, you know.
Take me back to a younger, littler Foose, and now you're at the Sweet 16. There's a big smile on your face when you start thinking about that.
It's actually crazy, you know, like, I always wanted to be there, you know, since my freshman year, you know. And now my senior year, I'm just able to be here, you know, like, I just don't know how to explain your feeling, you know, like, I've been watching on TV a lot since my freshman year, you know, watching people be on Sweet 16, Elite 8, and I'm saying, man, hopefully one day I'm going to be here, and today I'm here, you know. So I'm just so happy, you know, yeah.
When you were little, were you still as strong as this? Were you always strong?
Well, I was, yeah, a little bit strong, you know, but, you know, yeah, it's good.
So when you were little, you were still big?
Yeah, when I was little, I was still big for sure. Yeah. I was more like Jim Mike, you know.
You were like Jared McGregor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, and good luck tomorrow.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Foose Traore, fan favorite, always humble, always ready, and just half of that dynamic duo of the Mali men, which leads us to the other half, Kaba Keita, who, by the way, in the NCAA tournament is averaging just under 10 points a game and 7.5 rebounds. He has taken his participation and the way he's playing to another level. He's also, not surprisingly, ready for the Sweet 16. Kaba, how would you explain the emotions and the buildup of the week leading up to the Sweet 16?
It's been great, a lot of excitement. I mean, there's a lot of emotions to it. You know, guys are pumped to be here. Guys and staff, everybody excited to be here. But there was a lot of emotions, you know, especially, you know, going to the airport, you know, see all these fans, you know, saying bye, like, supporting you there. It was seeing all these fans. It was nice, and there was a lot of emotion going through that. So, yeah.
No question, quite the send-off. Now that you're in Newark and you've had a practice, what did you accomplish in today's practice to get more ready for tomorrow's game with Alabama?
You know, doing all usual stuff, you know, going through the sets, you know, our game plan, how to attack them, how they defend, and how we should attack them, and, you know, how we should guard, and, you know, just, yeah, usual stuff, so.
What are the points of emphasis in defending Alabama specifically for you?
Yeah, being physical and, you know, take away of the short roll because we like those little pocket passes. So, you know, just being more physical and take those away, those little pocket passes away. So, yeah.
They get after it on the offensive glass and rebounding in general. So how do you prepare for the challenge that awaits?
Yeah, it's going to come down to, you know, being the toughest guy out there. So just box him up, being physical, it's going to come down to that. So, and, yeah, multiple effort and defense for sure.
What's been the message from Coach Young and your staff this week to get right mentally?
Mentally, you know, we just got to be, well, let's say it's all mental toughness, like, you know, all multiple effort. That's what it's going to come down to. So, you know, just let's stick to our game plan. Let's keep playing BYU basketball and just, you know, do what we do. So that was a message.
Everybody keeps asking, what is it that makes this BYU team so special? Like, why the rise late in the season? How would you answer that question now?
We have each other's back. The brotherhood in this locker room is awesome. Even if you go to our locker room right now, you're going to say it's in the board. You will say, you know, have your brothers back. So that's been the key to this team's success this year, for sure, yeah.
A little bit cold in that arena. How do you feel about the dynamic and the setup of the building you're playing in?
Yeah, I was surprised it's a little chilly out here, but feels good, you know. The building's nice. I think it's my first time here. So, I'm excited for that.
When I say BYU in the Sweet 16, what goes through your mind?
Wow, that's awesome, you know. Yeah, that sounds good. It just sounds good. But, you know, we, like I said before, we didn't come here to just, like, you know, oh, we made it to a Sweet 16, and, yeah, no. We got to keep stocking, so that's what we're trying to do here. So, yeah.
What has changed the most with this team from the last time you were on the East Coast, essentially from the Providence game now to where you stand today?
You know, we had to stick together. You know, we are meeting as a team, and we talked about it. Going down the road and just get us absolutely destroyed. Like, that was not okay, and everybody here wants to win. And everybody is a competitor. So we got together as a team and talked about it and area that we can improve and stuff like that. So, and I would say the turning point for this team was, you know, at UCF when Coach Young challenged everybody in the locker room, and we just took the challenge, and that was a turning point for this team. So, yeah.
Great stuff. We wish you the best of luck tomorrow. And most importantly, are you ready to pump it up again?
Oh, yeah. I like that term. I'm ready. I'm super ready to pump it up. Yeah, for sure. And thank you.
He's so genuine with his responses. That's so great. Another guy who's been amazing on this team is Trey Stewart. He wasn't playing there for a minute. He's a key contributor now off the bench defensively, big time, makes timely threes. Here's my conversation with Trey Stewart. All right, Trey, here we are at the Sweet 16. How you feeling, man?
I feel great. It's fun, man. It's really fun.
How was practice?
Practice was great. We had good energy. We were focused on all our concepts and executing our plan, so I'm excited for it.
A little cold out there in this hockey venue.
Bro, it's like when we played at Providence, it was similar. We walk in the gym, and you're like, it feels like you're actually on ice because it's so cold.
How's this team feeling after, obviously, a massive win against Wisconsin, yet it feels like you guys feel like you're not done?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited, obviously. Like, it's a cool feeling to be where we are, but it's one of those things where it's a journey. It's a whole goal that we had in mind to get that national championship. So, yes, we're excited, but we're really motivated to continue because, you know, it's like an addictive thing. You win one game, you have fun. You win another game, it's like, man, this is really fun. We want to keep dancing.
What sticks out about Alabama?
Very talented team, fast-paced especially. They got very good guards who can drive, so it'll be a very high-octane offensive game, which I'm excited about, but obviously the defensive end is where it's going to be won, so I'm excited to kind of execute our plan on them.
What's the key to slowing them down?
The key to slowing them down is crash the offensive boards and get back in transition. Obviously, we've been a great rebounding team. I mean, there's credits to Cable and Foose. They've been a big part of that, but our guards are crashing down really well too. So if we get offensive rebounds and then also push the or give back when we don't get the offensive boards, and we'll be straight.
It's not as simple as forcing Mark Sears to go right, but what do you do on him to try and slow him down?
Yeah, it's a very talented player. Again, like Javon Small, where they're a left-handed leading guard, just kind of poking at that left hand, making sure you're kind of like uncomfortable and never in rhythm with their left. Obviously, they're very talented players and quick, so they're going to get there. But it's just about trying your best to stay between him and the basket.
How does this team stay loose yet focused?
Really just do what we've been doing. I mean, we come here and we have fun. We mess around like you see when we do the drill at the beginning. We're locked in on being in a tight shell, but we're also yelling defense, shouting, having fun. So make sure we find that balance of having fun, but also making sure we get our work done.
Certainly you guys had goals at the beginning of the year and you want to win it all. What are you hoping to accomplish in this regional that will make you guys, and you probably are already one of the best BYU teams ever?
Really just do what we've been doing. I mean, I think we've been playing really a great brand of basketball. I'm going to continue to get better and better every single game. We've grown, we've developed. KY says it all the time, we don't have freshmen anymore. I mean, you look at the way Yegor played. He's playing at a very high level. So really, we just got to keep doing what we're doing, and kind of our legacy will build itself.
I liked your comment last week when you said there was a minute there earlier this season talking about your journey where I almost gave up on faith and hard work. Can you expound on kind of regaining that faith and, hey, it actually did pay off, and how hard that was?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just feel doomed. Like, you're like, this is never going to turn around. It's a very frustrating feeling because you obviously hear all the stories of people's success going as they just kept pushing. But it just got to the point where, you know, fatigue obviously kicks in. We're all human. And I was just like, man, I don't know how much more I can keep giving. I'm giving 110%, but just no results are coming out of it.
That was mid-season we're talking about, right?
Yeah. And obviously, like, results aren't the reason you shouldn't base your personal happiness on results, but we're human. We all want results. We all want to succeed in life. So it just got really frustrating. But then, you know, fourth watch of the night, like the scriptures say, the Lord helped me through it all, which I'm very grateful for. But I was just grateful to get a chance and opportunity to kind of turn that around and, you know, rebuild that faith and hard work. So,
by the way, I heard you made the Tom Homo like hoodie that Diljit Taylor wore. That was cool, man. Yeah. What did it take to do that?
She just hit me up. I mean, I made an offer for her last year, I think it was. But she was like, oh, I just want to do a piece of Tom Home. I mean, we know Tom. He's left an amazing legacy here. So I was really grateful for the opportunity. So, you know, got Photoshop out right away, got the blanket ordered, sewed it together, and got it all ready for her. So it was fun to see her, and she's the best, like great energy. So she rocked it.
She does rock it. Thanks for the time, and best of luck tomorrow.
Hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate you as always. Thank you.
Trey Stewart, what a great guy. If you miss any of our coverage from the Sweet 16, we did more interviews you can watch on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
Still on the way, more reaction from BYU head coach Kevin Young and his players ahead of tonight's Sweet 16 game against Alabama. Headlines on the way.
Gotta
on BYU Sports Nation.
Pump it up.
Let's go.
Gotta pump it
BYU
up.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Station continues live from Newark, New Jersey, and the Prudential Center at the Sweet 16. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your game day headlines.
6-seed BYU will play 2-seed Alabama tonight in the Sweet 16 right here in Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center. The Cougars, a 5.5-point underdog. Ken Pom gives BYU a 32% chance to win. Yesterday, head coach Kevin Young addressed the matchup with Alabama.
Obviously, Alabama is a great team, super well coached, and you know, tall task for us, but have our guys feel like we're in a really good, you know, mental place, and we're just excited to get to the game.
Game tips at 7:09 Eastern on CBS.
BYU's Richie Saunders playing like an absolute star, showing that first team all Big 12 power in the first two tournament games, averaging over 20 points a game. You all know by now, he grew up a BYU fan, and he was asked about what it means to be the face of BYU basketball right now in a Sweet 16 game.
I mean, I grew up watching these games and just really, like, praying and hoping that BYU would get in and make a run or whatever. But to be on here, it means a lot. You know, and to do it with, like, this team collectively, like, it's so fun.
He's also the face of a food, you know? Freshman point guard Yegor Demon had a strong start to his NCAA tournament, averaging 13 points, 5 assists per game in BYU's 2 wins. When asked about matching Alabama's offensive pace, he says BYU has to play its brand of basketball.
I think it's important for us just to be focused on our basketball and not changing anything in how we play and try to play good defense and make them score less than us.
Fair enough. His teammate and senior sharpshooter Trevin Nell doing what he does, shooting over 50% for the first two games of the NCAA tournament from the field and from three. Trevin spoke on the importance for BYU to have a defensive mindset in order to beat the Crimson Tide.
We've been really focused on defensive, you know, strategies, defensive mindsets to try to slow them down. But again, like we're both, you know, 1 and 2, and I think offensive ratings right now. So it's going to be definitely a high, fast-paced game. But I'm excited to, you know, hopefully be able to play some good defense.
Very well could be. Opening day in Major League Baseball for the first time since 1999. Multiple BYU baseball players made opening day rosters.
Let's go.
Daniel Schneeman with the Cleveland Guardians and the fellow ward member in Mapleton with me, Justin Sterner in my ward, made the Athletics. They're not the Oakland A's, by the way. They're just the Athletics
just,
this
just
year.
Just the Athletics.
Yeah, congrats
Athletics
to Justin. Let's go.
Speaking of baseball, the Batcats of BYU host West Virginia at Miller Park tonight. First game of a three-game set. You can watch tonight's game on ESPN Plus or listen on the BYU radio app beginning at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
After 26 games on the road to start the season, BYU softball has its home opener tonight at Miller Park. A big one against number 11 Arizona, 7 Eastern on ESPN+. The Cougs have won 5 straight.
Shout out to James Corrigan of BYU Track and Field, named the Big 12 Athlete of the Week after clocking the fastest time nationally in the 3,000-meter steeplechase last weekend. Steeple you, Jerem. Corrigan and the rest of BYU men's and women's track and field.
I'm walking here!
In Texas this weekend, competing at the Clyde Littlefield Texas Relays, which begin today.
Is that okay in New Jersey or is that just New York? Women's golf finished in 5th place in the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational in Lahaina, Hawaii. It's a little bit warmer there than here. MJ Berrigan led the way for BYU, shooting 5 under par. Good for 5th place. Her 4th top 5 finish of the season. Men's golf tees off at the Goodwin Invitational hosted by Stanford. The 54-hole contest will begin today and go through Saturday.
The Goodwin, yeah. BYU men's tennis will look for their second straight win over a ranked team tonight as number 2 TCU visits Provo. And women's tennis hosting Iowa State tonight as they look to win their 4th straight Big 12 match. All right, we've heard from the BYU coaches and players on the basketball side about tonight's Sweet 16 game. Now it's time to hear from the Crimson Tide about what stands out on tape when it comes to the Cougars and the keys they believe are needed to slow down BYU. This is BYUSN. BYU Sports Nation continues live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, ahead of a Sweet 16 contest between the 6-seed BYU and 2-seed Alabama Crimson Tide. Let's focus on Alabama right now. You may have noticed that we're anticipating a very high-scoring, fast-paced contest between two of the best offenses in the country. Now, specifically, Alabama's head coach, Nate Oates, and some of his stars, Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, Aiden Holloway, and Clifford Amore, addressed what stands out on tape when it comes to preparing for BYU in this unique, high-octane game. So, let's also get into some of the details like Grant Nelson's mustache, among other things, as we hear from Alabama.
When you watch BYU on film, what sticks out?
They got a lot of length, athleticism. Their bigs are pretty athletic, so we know that they got playmakers too, Demon. We got to shut down them, and then their shooters, obviously, the three-point shooters. They got a couple guys shooting like over 40% from three, so.
Since maybe February 12th, I think we looked up. They got the number one offense in the country. And they play in a good league in the Big 12 with some really good defensive teams. So to do that, they got to know what they're doing. They're playing well. Richie Saunders has been playing really good basketball for the last month and a half, I think. Double figures in 11 straight games. And shooting over 50% from the field, 43 from three. Doesn't miss much at the free throw line. Like, he's obviously really good. He's having a great tournament. So we're going to have to do a great job on him. But they've got a lot of other players, too. They got shooters. They've got, you know, their bigs play really hard. The whole team gets on the old boards well. So there's a lot going. Our defense is going to have to be elite, but our offense also going to have to be really good, too.
They're a fast-paced team just like us. They could shoot the ball, and, you know, they attack the rim also. And they got a big point guard who could, you know, see the floor.
Hopefully we continue to play well on offense, but our defense is going to have to be at an elite level with BYU. They're good in transition. They're good in the half court. They're good on the boards. They're pretty much good at everything. They're great in pick and rolls. So our defense is going to get tested against these guys on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, they play a lot like us, very fast paced, and it should be a very fun game. But, you know, it's going to come down to get stops.
They're saying it's going to be a track meet, first to 100 wins. But, I mean, we know what we got to do. We got to get stops defensively, and that ultimately leads to our offense.
What's the key to getting those stops?
I mean, same thing we've been preaching since the summer, where it's just we need to be grittier than them. We need to be tough. We got to get rebounds, finish it off with a rebound, obviously. But, I mean, I think it just all comes down to us playing our hardest and being locked in on every play.
I would just say the things that we can control, which are like our rebounding efforts, getting back in transition because they're a great team in transition, guarding our matchup one-on-one, and just like how hard we play. I would just say controlling the controllables.
You know, we gotta limit their threes as much as possible. We can't give them simple threes. Simple threes is they just shoot a three, rock you to sleep right in your face, and we gotta do a great job of that. We got to try to limit rotations as much as possible because when they're breaking down the defense, that's giving easy threes to their shooters, and we just got to do a great job of that. And we got to do a great job of transition defense because I've seen they're very, very elite in transition, and we just got to do a great job of slowing that down.
What's the key to a well-groomed mustache, Grant?
I don't know, just keeping it clean, trimming it up every now and then.
How do you feel about his mustache game?
It's pretty smooth. It's all right. It's all right.
Good stuff with Alabama. That was a ton of fun. Coming up tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, the annual BYU football alumni game is back. Cougar legends on display at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. You can watch it on BYU TV and the free BYU TV app at 8 Eastern time.
The trash talk is already entering legendary status for that game. Hey, what are your Sweet 16 game day guarantees? More responses to our question of the day
NBA
after
Jam
this.
NBA Jam here, dude.
This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
And there are 8 seconds to go. Ames against Paxson. 5 seconds. Inside. Ames scores for 2 seconds. 1 second on the clock. It is all over. It is all over. But it looked like Notre Dame was going to have Kelly Tripucka as the hero. The
what
Heroes
a great drive.
Is lost by Notre Dame. And the Heroes banner goes to Danny Ainge, Frank Arnold, and Brigham Young.
BYU jubilation and Digger Phelps' worst nightmare. That's what it looked and sounded like the last and only time BYU won a Sweet 16 game back in 1981, courtesy of that iconic Danny Ainge drive and game-winning layup to beat Notre Dame.
Let's get something like that tonight. Something that we'll remember forever. Why not?
The next
Richie Saunders to the cup.
Magical moment.
With 2 seconds left, let's go.
Maybe somebody wants to make a guarantee about that. Our elite voice of the day answering this question. What is your game day guarantee for BYU's Sweet 16 matchup against Alabama? It is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. It comes in from at WD Heath 40 on X, who says, with about 8 seconds left and BYU down one, Richie will get the ball and go coast to coast, behind the back, between three defenders, and lay it up for the win to send BYU to the elite eight.
With a floater? It's a floater? About 8 feet? Oh, man, that would be epic, dude. Come on. Come on. We can only hope, right?
Today's Rise is shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yesterday, Stephen R. Moon on X tweeted at us, hey, I made this anime version via AI.
Rock? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was ChatGPT made it.
Okay.
That's cool. It's pretty accurate there. I think it looks pretty good.
Yes,
that's cool.
I started to see this anime version pop up on all types of things after LeBron's game winner last night. The Lakers are all in that mode. Really, really cool technology and stuff. So thanks for sending in that idea. Thought that was kind of a cool thing to get.
Okay, here we go tonight. BYU and Alabama for a chance in the Elite Eight. Come on, Cougs. You can do it. Let's go.
Make history. In an already historic season for BYU basketball, our thanks to all of today's guests, including BYU's Dallin Hall, Foose Trey, Akeba Keita, and Trey Stewart.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Danny Ainge. You know it has to be Danny Ainge today. Go Cougs in the Sweet 16. Got to pump it up.